And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Mills coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight before Thanksgiving, recording to give you guys something to talk about that isn't politics, I guess. But yeah, we are here to talk about the Rowdies. And by we, I mean myself and Carlos. Carlos, how are you doing this evening?
James, I love talking about politics at Thanksgiving. I don't know what you're talking about. Who do you vote for, by the way? Let's get into this one. Let's just start the podcast with that question. How about that? No.
Yeah.
I'm doing all right. I'm back home in sunny Tampa, Florida, although today it wasn't that sunny. Yeah, I'm back for Thanksgiving. Really happy. I love Tampa, obviously, and I'm happy to be with my family. Got the whole family coming over tomorrow, which includes all like my little cousins, which is always a blast and always a nightmare for my living room. What else going on? Georgetown soccer lost this weekend, James, or this past week on Sunday, the second round of the national tournament. I'm so sad. That being said, Marlon Tabora now needs a professional club to play for. He's a senior, and I'm just going to keep pushing this agenda. All right. I know we haven't gotten to the point in the offseason where we're talking about wish lists or anything, but I'm going to put this out there before we get there. He's looking for a club. Rowdy's front office. We need some more depth at the wings right now. That's all I'm going to say. James, how are you doing this Thanksgiving Eve? What's going on in your life?
Well, at the moment, I am trying to help out my old roommates with their house having no AC in it, hence the True Detective figures behind me. But yeah, the AC unit was not fixed when the repairman came, and I've just been sitting in a hot house for most of the day. I'm eager to get to actual Thanksgiving, which will be at my parents' house because, hey, they have an AC unit. Fancy that. But that's not what everyone is tuning in to listen to. They don't want to hear about my roommate's poor AC issues. They would like to hear about the Rowdies, I'm assuming. So let's get into that, Carlos. Now, as with last week, we will continue with our season review, and this time we will be covering the players for the 2023 season. Now, today we will do our defenders and midfielders for the past year, and we will do the keepers and attackers next week, as long as nothing pops up in the way of us trying to get through that like it did the prior week, when we had some pretty big news related to the Rowdies staff and their roster, pretty much everything, actually. But
yeah,
to actually segue into the roster for a little bit before we pick up with that review, there were two players whose options were declined during this offseason, and those are Lucky Mkosana and Seb Dalgard. So we're going to talk about them again at the end of the show. I think that that's the best time to actually get into how much we probably will want to talk about them, Carlos. But suffice to say, these are both players who have made over 100 appearances for the Rowdies. Yep. And I think that it is probably going to be a case that at least one, if not both of these, gets the L word thrown around here, that actual legend status for Lucky and Seb Dalgard.
Yeah. Agreed. I'll save all my thoughts about them later on. But great guys, great players, great characters on this squad.
Yeah.
And great people I've had around the locker room, I'm sure, for a long time. So happy that they were here. What was the quote? The Dr. Seuss thing, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened, or whatever. Yeah. Good stuff. And I'm excited to talk about them later on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, before we get started with our review with the defenders this time around, please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and subscribe on any major podcast platform, of course. And please follow RBLR Sports at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, wherever you are. We are there as well. So, Carlos, if you want to take the first two defenders, I can take the middle two and we'll split the last two for the six from 2023.
Absolutely. So, James, let me just preface this by saying this is a really fun concept for me because I think this is going to give us a chance to look back at players that we even forgot played for the Rowdies at some point this season.
It's true.
There's so much that happened this year. There's so much turnaround. There were so many injuries. There are a lot of people that made an appearance for the Rowdies. just in these defensive and the midfielders in the units here. So I'm excited to go through some of this. But these first two are certainly not players that you will have forgotten. Connor Antley, number two, 28, turning 29 years old this year. He played in 33 games this season. 31 of those were starts. So Iron Man for sure this year. He had 3 assists, 6 Man of the Match awards. He also had 2 Open Cup appearances. And in one of those, he actually earned an RBLR Man of the Match award. Some are saying that's more prestigious than the Ballon d'Or. The other one I'm going to talk about here and just mention briefly is number 3, Forrest Lasso. Again, a player that is not someone you will have forgotten. He's 30 years old, turning 31 in May. This season, he played in 29 USL games. 28 of those were starts. He had 1 goal, which I remember very vividly. It was a beautiful, beautiful header. He definitely deserved more than that this year. Got unlucky on more than a few occasions. 2 Man of the Match awards. Did have a rougher season in terms of his mistakes, I guess we could say. We've always known him to be an incredibly consistent player. It's kind of his MO. Just incredibly consistent, incredibly locked down in the back, but did concede 3 penalties this year. It's the most of any Riders player. And on one of those penalties, James, he actually ended up scoring an own goal. So just he had a couple moments this year where we can look back and be like, this was certainly not his best season. But by all accounts, a good season nonetheless. He is a multiple-time USL Defender of the Year for a reason. And he had a great season. So Connor Antley and Forrest Lasso both had good seasons, and those are your first two defenders that made appearances this year.
Yep, and we will continue now down the roster with number 17, Tate Johnson, who actually is 18 years old right now, at least as of recording. He had 4 USL games, including 1 start over the course of 2023, and 1 Man of the Match award, actually, during our rough stretch at the beginning of the season. So RBLR Sports, I think that our Man of the Match awards, as you said, are extremely prestigious. Congratulations to Tate Johnson on getting one. He also made 2 Open Cup appearances, including 1 start. And in the middle of the summer, he went out on loan to Charlotte in the MLS Next Pro, or their MLS Next Pro division is what I should say. And from there, he made 10 appearances. So that is the equivalent of a third division team. Let's say that he kind of went on loan to a USL League One equivalent pretty much. But here, I guess the thought process is that Tate Johnson would, instead of just playing in USL or USL League One, whatever it would be, he actually has a potential pathway to an MLS first team. I don't know, you know, what the people at Charlotte think of him. I also don't know what the people at Tampa Bay Rowdies, like what the staff here thinks of him, because I don't know even if he's still considering a college path. You know, I would honestly like to get more clarification on him, just like I would a lot of players, in fact. But yeah, that was it was interesting because I didn't realize that he had made 10 appearances in MLS Next Pro when he was out on loan. That's actually pretty good for the amount of time that he was there. So maybe there is something that we need to keep an eye out on in terms of his MLS options, let's say. But I would still think that he would be a potential contributor for the Tampa Bay Rowdies, if not next year, at least in 2 years. So, you know, we will see, obviously, what happens with him over the offseason. The next player that I am going to talk about here is number 19, Freddie Kleeman. He is 24 and turning 25 over the offseason. In 2023, he made 32 USL League appearances, including 25 starts. He had 1 Man of the Match, and unfortunately for him, he had 1 own goal. Now, at the moment, as of recording, we do not know Freddie Kleeman's situation. He was not listed in the last update for all of the players. So we're assuming that, you know, we will get some information, obviously, whether or not he is returning relatively soon. And I think at this point, it is good not only just to have Freddie Kleeman, but certainly to have depth. Freddie Kleeman was a regular starter, so just considering him depth, I think, is a little below what he actually showed to be this season. And I'm interested to see, obviously, how it goes for him, not only in the offseason, but if he does come back, then, you know, I think that he could be a pretty good contributor for 2024. So hopeful to see exactly what that turns into. And Carlos, I will flip it back to you for someone here for the Rowdies who maybe wasn't super regular, but is a name that we will all know.
This is, well, first of all, James, let me just say, I think we should create some sort of physical award to give RBLR Man of the Match award winners. I'm thinking I've been doing some arts and crafts recently. I'm gonna get like a paper plate and just kind of like marker in an RBLR sports man of the match award that we just like ship to the Rowdies front office and they can give it to the players. Again, they need something to show for it. I mean, we can't just say that they want it. They need something concrete to remember how incredible they felt
I
when they got
agree.
that award. So I'm gonna make that happen at some point. More importantly, though, going down our list of defenders, the next defender on our list is number 27. You might be thinking, who the hell is number 27? Lawrence Wyke. Yeah, I remember him. He played two games for us. He's 27 years old, played in two USL games this year. Actually got one assist and got one man of the match. He was an MLS loanee from Nashville. Just as quickly as he came into Tampa Bay, and we got a little excited to see an old face, he left. So yeah, he was recalled by his MLS squad, Nashville SC. He made no MLS appearances, so honestly, I think a bit of a waste to recall him. I think it was kind of silly for Nashville to do that if they weren't going to play him. I think it would have been in their own best interest to leave him with the Rowdies if that was the case. And in the Rowdy's best interest. So yeah, weird situation. We don't know what his future will be like at Nashville. But a player that I guess in his really short time this season contributed at least somewhat to the on-field performances. Yeah, Lawrence Wyke, two games, two starts, one assist, and one man of the match. Good for him. And then the last defender that we saw regularly make appearances this year was none other than Aaron Guillen, 30-year-old. Mexican defender, 31 games, 31 starts. This is the Iron Man of the back line, by the way.
Yeah.
Three assists, three man of the match awards. The 2023 team captain, by the way. And then unfortunately, just had a season injury, or sorry, an injury late in the season this year, that kept him from starting in every game this season. He is one player we do know will be coming back and joining the squad next year. And that rounds out the defending unit of the Tampa Bay Rowdies. But yeah, something to mention there. Again, he's coming back next year, confirmed. Connor Antley's coming back next year, confirmed. Forrest Lasso is coming back next year, confirmed. That's basically the starting back line, with also Freddie Kleeman kind of coming in and out. He had 25 starts as well, sometimes started on the bench. So really, really impressive stuff from the Rowdies to have such crazy retention of such an impressive back line. So good things coming from them, great chemistry already, and I'm really, really happy that we can keep most of that unit together. Good stuff from the Fratty front office.
Yeah, I think that that's important to emphasize because before we got on, actually, you had pointed out that it was the Rowdies kind of announcing how much of a team we already have for 2024. That's a little unprecedented for this club. The number of players, we probably have a full starting 11 at this point, and it is, well, it's the end of November, but obviously this was like the beginning of November when it was actually announced. So yeah, it's pretty interesting that all of these players are already going to be coming back. And you assume even among the players who were not named in that email press release that maybe a couple more will come back too, and we certainly hope so. We talked about the goalkeepers last week, and we definitely need some goalkeepers on this roster. But regardless, I think that it's looking really good. Connor Antley, Forrest Lasso, those two we mentioned. Lawrence Wyke is, well, we don't know his situation because he was at Nashville. Tate Johnson, similar with MLS. Freddie Kleeman is up in the air, and Aaron Guillen is also coming back. So I would like to highlight Antley, Lasso, and Guillen because they already are coming back, and we know that. I think that those are very strong players. They have been very strong contributors for a long time now. I think that Antley has proven himself not only a very capable defender, but also with his versatility. That really helps us because he has filled in as a center back, as a right wing back as well. There are a lot of different options that we can play. Now, I don't know what Robbie Nielsen is looking at in terms of the lineup that he wants to use in the formation specifically. So, if we go with three at the back, I certainly don't mind seeing Aaron Guillen, Forrest Lasso, Connor Antley again. That would be something that we've seen before.
It's a decent
But
back line.
yeah, exactly. But then, Connor Antley, again, he could switch out to the right wing back in that position. I think that he's even kind of stepped into a midfield role at times from there. But what we really need at the back is more depth. If Freddie Kleeman ends up being someone who comes in as one of those pieces and he's a regular starter again, I would not be upset by that. Something that does concern me a little bit is the lack of pace between Lasso and Kleeman. If we do see Kleeman back again, this is speculation just because we don't know his situation at the moment. Aaron Guillen, I think, is probably the paciest in terms of getting back. Connor Antley would be sneaky quick. Yeah,
Aaron Guillen is very quick. Yeah.
Yeah, Connor Antley, I would say, is probably the second fastest out of at least that group, but he often is not in the position where he's going to be tracking back. I think Jordan Doherty actually filled in as a center back more than Antley did this past year. But regardless, that's something that kind of worries me, Carlos, is the lack of pace potentially. And, you know, we do know Forrest Lasso is coming back. I think that this was probably a downturn of a year for him in terms of the high standards that he has set for himself. And pace is not something that comes back, unfortunately. You know, you kind of have to have pace and then it slows down, or you never really have like a ton of pace and you just kind of know how to position yourself. I think that was more Forrest Lasso's game all these years. But he did not have the best year trying to get his positioning right. And unfortunately, I would especially highlight this past season Forrest Lasso's lack of, I wouldn't say a lack of control, but lack of intelligence at times in wielding his giant body, because he's a giant man, naturally.
Sure.
Referees are going to be biased against bigger players, because when they knock somebody over, I mean, your brain is going to automatically think, oh, well, obviously it's the bigger man that is responsible for it, even though I don't think Forrest Lasso was as guilty as probably the referees did. So yeah, those are my concerns, Carlos. What do you think? And, you know, am I off the base here, or what is your view of the situation?
I think it depends also, like you said, heavily on kind of what Robbie Nielsen's approach tactically is going to be. Again, my only tactical knowledge of soccer is playing Football Manager. So I know
nothing.
Yeah, it's something. It's pretty realistic, right? That being said, like, again, you have a great, 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 great start by having Guillen, Lasso, and Antley re-signed already. So it's pretty cool that he has that base to work with. That being said, I think fullbacks and like wingbacks definitely need more pace. So Antley kind of is that. He's a pretty quick guy already. I think we'll see the Rowdies go out and look for a guy to play at the fullback or the wing back spot with a bit more speed. That being said, Aaron Guillen has played left back a lot before, and he's done it very well.
Yep.
So there might not even be a need to like find a starting left back more so than depth. But again, he's 30 years old. That's definitely not old by any means in professional sports. It's still very near and around his prime, so I don't think that should be too much of a concern. Forrest Lasso, just by nature of his size, I think is a bit slower, like you said. But I don't think he needs to do too much, Robbie Nielsen, in terms of going out and finding more pieces. You don't have to go out and find guys to replace anybody or find guys to like take someone's spot, because you have guys that are starters already here. You just need, like you said, maybe someone to fill in at the left back spot or the left wing back spot, because you have Antley that plays on the right side usually. You have Guillen, who could play on the left side, but is traditionally more of a center back, but definitely can play in the left back spot. But yeah, I would imagine Robbie Nielsen goes out and looks for a left back this season. There's plenty of good options in the USL, plenty of good options in the college soccer world, which I don't think we fully take advantage of.
I don't either.
Like, and again, I think we just, there's, I'm really curious to see, this is tangentially related, but I'm curious to see what kind of like Robbie Nielsen and his approach to going out and finding players is going to be like, because the Rowdies have never really taken advantage, I think, of certain areas of talent pool and talent depth in and around the US and outside the US. But we also have limited resources. I'm aware of that. And, you know, we're smart with how we usually go about finding players. So I'm sure I trust the front office to get him kind of up to speed on what he needs to be aware with, and then kind of like who we should be going out to look for in terms of a little bit of pace on that left side, especially. I think at the right side, you're kind of fine already. But I wouldn't really be too concerned with what we have. I think we're like it's worth emphasizing how rare this retention is in the USL Championship, and in minor, like lower division soccer as a whole. There's very few teams that can pull that off. And you see it a little bit with Louisville. You see it a little bit with Sacramento, Phoenix, maybe. Like, there's few teams that can pull off keeping together a core like this and having players buy into that mentality, buy into the mission of whatever the Rowdies have in mind and the vision for the club. So, broadly speaking, pretty proud of the Rowdies front office for being able to keep this core together. And I think looking into next season, there's really not too much cause for concern at the back line, other than can we stay healthy? Right.
Yes.
So obviously, we're gonna have to go out and find some depth pieces, who those are and what they look like. I think we can save that for another episode. But I think, like you said, kind of the main point to look for and who we should be, the area we should be looking at is definitely, looking for a left back. With some pace that can move up the wing a bit more than Aaron Guillen traditionally has been able to. He's not, a attacking player by trade or anything, but when he's played left back, he's done pretty decent at it. I think we could use somebody out there to go out and fill in that left side.
Yeah, I think that that's actually pretty key to highlight there. The left side to fill in a couple of players who aren't listed on the defensive side, but were playing in defensive roles at times. Jake Aramin is one. We already know that his contract option was declined, so he will not be back next year. So that spot on the left wing is open, as you said. And then Jordan Doherty was filling in as a center back, something that I already mentioned. He will be here, so we don't have to worry about that in terms of center back depth. We do at least already have Doherty, Lasso, and Guillen, who all did that in the past season. But if we are going with three at the back, especially, you wonder then who's going to be another left wing back similar to Jake Aramin or at times Aaron Guillen, obviously. The only other option that we have on the roster right now that I would point to is someone that's going to be a little far-fetched when I say it at first, but that's Leo Fernandez. If everyone remembers, Leo Fernandez had the MVP season in 2020. Yeah, 2022 it was. So the year before that, 2021, was Sebastian Guenzadi's incredible season, and the year that he was supposed to be the MVP. That, well, we all thought that anyway. Of course, I think it was the Golden Boot winner, like Haji Berry or something, who won it. But that's neither here nor there. The point that I'm trying to get at is that year, Leo Fernandez was playing as a left wing back and he was doing very well. He actually did super well in that position and was so creative that they moved him into the midfield in 2022. And that's when he had obviously that gigantic breakout year where he became the MLS MVP. So I don't know, in his later years, he is, closing in on, no, I think he's turning 32. I don't remember offhand. His position in the midfield is one where he doesn't need a ton of pace, actually. But oftentimes, just as players age, they will kind of drift backwards down the field, unless you're like a striker, because then you don't really have the same skill set as everyone else. But I don't know if that's something that is possibly on the cards or not. It wouldn't necessarily answer the pace question that you and I have talked about a little bit here and there, but it is an option. The point is, he is an option back there. So, we'll see how it all shakes out, obviously. I do think left back is the largest area of concern at the moment, just considering whom we have already on the roster. Right back, we do need depth. Center back, we need depth, regardless of whether or not Freddie Kleeman does ultimately join us. And I think that I think that that's pretty good on the defensive side. Have you got anything else for this unit, Carlos?
No. I mean, all we know is kind of this initial group of people coming back, and it's still November, so there's plenty of time to go out and get those depth pieces. Like, it'd be weird if we were already signing people like en masse right now. So, yeah, I don't imagine that we'll be too concerned about depth or left back or depth at the right back spot in, let's say, a month, maybe a little bit more. Month and a half, let's say.
All right. There you go. That is your deadline, Tampa Bay Rowdies. Carlos has laid down the line for you.
Yeah, I'm going to be on winter break. Like, I need something to be talking about by that point. I'm not going to be as busy. Georgetown basketball is back by that point, so I don't know. But, yeah, we need signings. I need stuff to talk about here, James. What are we doing?
There we go. Another way that Carlos has laid down the line, Tampa Bay Rowdies. Get on the phone. Now, we do need to talk about the midfielders, but before I get into that, I do, of course, want to say liking and subscribing is free, but if you think you might need some new threads, maybe some gifts coming up for, a Christmas season, let's say, you can support this podcast just a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the designs that we have got going on there. There will be a link in the description, and you can use the promo code COYR for 10% off your order. Please do check it out. We will soon have stuff up there for all the teams that we cover. And I think that there will be something in there that you like, regardless of, you know, which team it is you support. And now, Carlos, we will move into the midfielders. I'll take the first three and leave the next four to you, and then finish it out with the final four here, because we have 11 to go through on the midfield side. Yep. So the first one on the roster is number four, and that is Lewis Hilton. 30 years old for the 2024 season, I should say. He had 14 USL games in 2023, including 13 starts. He had one assist and one RBLR Sports Man of the Match in what was very unfortunately for him an injury-riddled year. I think that Lewis Hilton is an extremely important player at this club. The fact that he was limited to one Man of the Match is clearly an indication, not of himself as a player, or his importance to this team, but just the fact that he was out for as often as he was. I mean, Carlos, if we look back at it, it was the first game that he was injured in, and then he came back a couple games later, and I don't remember exactly which one, but he had to go off again, or it was after the game. I don't remember exactly, actually, so I shouldn't speculate here. But the next thing is Lewis Hilton isn't in the lineup, and we see him with a boot on at one of the games. And I was like, oh, no, this is no good. And we weren't sure that we were going to get him back. The fact that he did come back at all was good, but I don't know that he was, you know, the same level of what we've seen him do in the past, certainly. And then, of course, he goes down in the playoff game anyway, and we have to switch things up because of that injury as well. So it's very unfortunate, naturally, that this happens to any player, but especially a player who has contributed so much over the past several seasons. I obviously hope that Lewis Hilton, he will be back this upcoming year. We know that already. So yeah. I just hope that Lewis Hilton is going to be, you know, back to his usual self in terms of just appearances, let's say, before we can even get into everything else. Number seven in the roster is Jan Ekra. He will be 33 years old for the upcoming season, and he had 32 USL games this past year, including 27 starts. He had two assists and three Man of the Match awards from RBLR Sports. Talks with him are ongoing, according to the press release. So we assume at this point that Jan Ekra will be back, I guess it's safe to say, but I don't know, you know, in case something, balls up in the air. So it's possible that something just falls through. I personally, as one of the big fans of Jan Ekra out there, I hope that he does return, even if it's in a more diminished role just because of his age. I don't know if that'll be the case or not, but I did always appreciate what he contributed for this team. He also had two Open Cup appearances, including one start, and one of those was a Man of the Match performance, according to us. Now, number eight in the roster was Jake Aramon, who is 27, turning 28 years old. He had 18 games for us in 2023, including 14 starts, many of those as the left wing back, as we've stated, two goals and two assists, as well as two Man of the Match awards from RBLR Sports. He scored the first goal of the season for us in the first game against Indy 11, and we do know at this point that he will be leaving the club. He was another one who dealt with injuries this past season, and I think that it was pretty unfortunate because him being out kind of made us change the lineup quite a bit. I think more than certainly the coaching staff would have wanted. But yeah, those are the first three, and Carlos, I will turn it over to you now.
Yeah, and then an interesting name here that you might remember, who was technically on the roster at some point this season, was number 18, Santiago Castaneda, 19 years old, didn't appear for the Rowdies this year. Appeared a couple times last year, if you remember. He was one of the academy products that came up and then signed an academy contract with the Rowdies. He was quote unquote sold to Duisburg in Germany, a third division team, and he made 9 appearances for them actually over there in the third division in Germany.
Better than I expected.
Yeah, don't really know. I frankly haven't kept up with what's going on over there in his career. But yeah, I was surprised to see that number. Good for him. Don't really know what the future holds in store for him, but hey, you know, hopefully good things, and we can say he came from the Rowdies. But yeah, as for now, can't imagine we'll see him next season. So yeah, thank you for your service, Santiago Castaneda, last year. Good luck in your ongoing career in Germany. Number 20 is a name that did appear for the Rowdies this year, but you probably forgot he existed as well, to be honest. His name is Zach Erivo, number 20, 27 years old, turning 28. He had 6 appearances this year, 6 starts, 1 goal, actually, 2 Man of the Match awards in his short time playing, and then got dealt a season-ending injury pretty early on, and then didn't see the field one more time all year. Highly unfortunate. You'll notice that there's one word that keeps repeating itself in just the defenders and the midfielders, and that's the word injury. And that will also be a theme. And then this next player's review, number 21, Deon Harris, who's 26 years old. He's a guy that I've been waiting to have like a big breakout year. Yeah. It just hasn't come yet. I thought this year would absolutely be his opportunity, given just the circumstances coming into the season. I figured he might be able to find a spot as a breakout starter. Appeared 28 times, made 16 starts. Did actually have 1 goal and 2 assists, had 1 Man of the Match award. But again, a season that had potential, that seemed like he could get things going. And as he started getting those goals and the couple assists racking up, the injury came at a really bad time, kind of knocked him off his game. Came back later in the year a couple times, but again, dealing with an injury like that in the middle of the season, throw off a season heavily. So unfortunate for him, but again, a player that we do know is coming back next year. So who knows? He has plenty of pace, plenty of opportunity on the wing for him to potentially make something happen. And who knows? Maybe after that, finally have that breakout year. I was thinking for a second he could play on the left side, but no, like he's always played on that right side. So I'm not sure if we could see him kind of be a Jake Arman in the same sense, playing on that left wing back spot. I don't think Deon Harris is that much of a defender per se. So I think he would be someone that is more focused in the attack next year as well. Talking about versatility is a word we've used a bit this episode already, James. Number 22, Jordan Doherty, is 23 years old. Again, young player who's been with us now for a little bit at this point. He made 34 appearances, 34 starts this year, 3 assists, 6 Man of the Match awards, breakout season for sure. Truly, truly was a hugely influential piece for us this year. Did everything he was asked of him and more. Played center back when he had to, played in the midfield. He's by trade a more defensive midfielder, a central midfielder, but he was able to play center back when he had to, when we were dealing with all those injuries. He's one player that, despite all the playing time he got, did not pick up an injury and was able to stay healthy all year. Really, really impressive stuff. And I think it's a huge testament to kind of the stamina he has as a player and just the incredible talent he has to play at any different role, any given moment in time. Really, really great stuff from him. He had 2 Open Cup games as well, both starts, and was the player with the most appearances for us this year. Really, really great stuff from him. Glad to see him coming back next year as well. Am I making that up? He's coming back next year, right, James?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna make sure I'm not making anything up here. Really, really great that he's coming back, because he's a highly, highly valuable player. We already have a pretty deep lineup just with the guys we've re-signed, but God forbid there's any more injury problems, he is the guy you want to have on your lineup. So great to see him coming back. He had a fantastic season. Again, most appearances for the Rowdies this year.
Yeah, I think that Jordan Doherty in particular, just 34 appearances in the league, 36 overall with the Open Cup. I think that that kind of speaks for itself there. To move on in the roster, there is number 23, Sebastian Dalgaard, who is 32 years old. He made 24 appearances this past season, including 11 starts. He had 3 assists and 5 Man of the Match awards. Unfortunately, he dealt with a lot of injuries, and that contributed to how much he played, especially towards the end of the season, I would say. That was where it really became a problem with his appearances, and obviously that impacted us because we frequently benefited from his versatility playing as both a left and right winger and a left and right wing back. So that was obviously off the table when he was out. We do know, as we started with this episode with, will be leaving us. And I think that that's unfortunate for all of the reasons that I just stated. But, you know, every player's time at the Rowdies obviously comes to a close at some point. And if this is it, then I just hope that we find someone who's as capable as he was as a replacement, because he has done a lot for us, and we're going to get into that a little bit more when this episode gets a little closer to the end. Number 24 on the roster was Abel Caputo, a player that we did not see a lot of, unfortunately. He is 23 years old, 2 appearances, both off the bench, and was injured and then never played again. So that was not ideal, obviously. He was there to fill in for players because we were down Lewis Hilton for a while. We were down Jan Ekra intermittently. We were down Zach Herivo for a long, long time. So we brought in Abel Caputo to try and fill in as a defensive midfielder. And with him also going off, that impacted our ability to do that. And yeah, it's unfortunate because I think he could have contributed, just because, you know, I don't even know exactly how good a player he is. We didn't get to see enough of him, but the lack of playing time there again was just such an issue with all of these guys and the injuries that we had. It really sucked. Number 34 on the roster was Ryan Spalding, who is 25 years old, 9 appearances for us. All 9 of them were starts in the league, I should say. 2 goals, 4 assists, 5 Man of the Match awards. Absolutely lit this team on fire for about 2 months, I would say. He was a loanee from the New England Revolution, but to the New England Revolution, he returned after a little while, where he made 9 MLS appearances for them after they started dealing with injuries to their fullbacks, including Brandon Bye and DeJuan Jones, who was just, I think he was actually just appearing with the U.S. national team. But regardless, Ryan Spalding, I think this might be Carlos's favorite player for a long time, but Ryan Spalding,
I miss him so much.
Yeah, he was something else with the Rowdies. And even if it was only 9 league appearances, I think those 9 league appearances were something else. It was incredible.
I want to make a documentary about the Spalding sanity era, the 2023. Like, what's like the ESPN 30 for 30 line, like the famous thing? What if I told you Ryan Spalding came to Tampa, Florida, and changed the culture of the team forever? I mean, this guy was insane, James. I don't think we can overemphasize what an insane run he had. That first game was like, okay, whatever, like, he exists. He'd had a decent game after that. Just turned it on. Like, 8 straight games of insanity. Played fantastic. I love him, and I really, really hope one day he comes to his senses and decides to come play for the Rowdies again, because, oh man, like, that was just a wild run for him. Super sad that he had to leave, like, right in the middle of that run, but truly, truly made an impact on the team when, again, depth was at a premium. Like, we needed depth, and he came in as that lone option. See what you can do, and he truly, truly helped the team at a moment where we certainly needed that.
Yeah, I retweet all of that. It was a wild ride for the little time that he was here, but I think it was also the best portion of the season, like, literally in terms of our record. So yeah, he probably had a good portion of the responsibility for how well we did then. The last player that we will be covering tonight in the midfield section, also, I believe, the last player on the roster, number 98, Joshua Perez, 25 years old, turning 26 over the offseason with 11 appearances this year and 7 starts. He had 1 goal in San Antonio's wild 3-3 draw, and yeah. He was a midseason signing also to replace a bunch of injured players, and he obviously was able to contribute more than Abel Caputo just because he did not get another injury along the way. And, you know, I didn't expect that much from Josh Perez, but he ended up just being important by dint of the fact that he was available most of the time. That's, yeah. You know, that's really good. So, yeah, to wrap up with, like, positional sensing here. Let's go through the defensive midfield options that we will have. We know Lewis Hilton will be back. We know Zach Herivo can play there. He will be back. Jordan Doherty will be back. And those are those positions to get into a more attacking role. Jan Ekra, the talks are ongoing, so we do not know exactly where we are there. Zach Herivo usually does play a little bit higher, so I will list him here. And those are the more attacking midfield options that we have in this section. I will point out players that we're not covering today include Charlie Dennis and Leo Fernandez. On the wings, we will have back Deion Harris and Josh Perez. Those are the two that we have right now. So, yeah, it's a little interesting. I think that there will be a couple of more players listed in the offensive side who can play out on the wings. But yeah, it's not very deep again, Carlos, that we can look at this roster and, you know, we can make a very good starting 11. I should say a very, very good starting 11 for the USL Championship. Yep. But with the way that all of the seasons that RBLR has been covering the Rowdy, certainly. So 2020, 21, 22, now 23, 21, 22, 23, 2020. I don't know how much coverage there was just in general because of the COVID year. But regardless, the three seasons that RBLR has been covering the Rowdies now, all of those at some point have had some huge injury crisis. This year, it was for several months, I would say, because there was more than a month's period when we didn't even have a full complement of players on the bench. So that's obviously a problem for a team in terms of like literally, you know, fielding a team.
There were literally multiple games where we only had three outfield guys available. Yep. And a goalie. That happened multiple times this year. And by the way, they were all strikers. It was like Lucky Mkasane, Ariel Martinez, and what's his name? Felix Schroeder.
Yeah.
Like there were multiple games where those were our options off the bench. What do you do with that? Like, that is an impossibly unsustainable situation.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. That's exactly it. It is unsustainable, and that will always be a problem because, A, like, players now are just required to play a lot more games than they ever have been in the past. I think that that's important to note. I think it's also important that at some point that number of games that players have every year go down, but hey, you know, FIFA and everyone else involved are making sure that that's not going to be the case. So I don't know exactly how we fix that, especially not from our position, Carlos, as commentators. But at the same time, you know, we play all of these games. We play a lot of them in Florida, so it's going to be very hot. You're going to be dealing with a lot less training time. That was something that I actually asked Nicky Law about this season, was how do you deal with the heat over the summer? And he said that because they don't want the players like playing in that heat, it can be dangerous at times. Ultimately, they get a lot less training time and they kind of have to focus on other things that are inside. So they might focus on, you know, probably video work or maybe going to the gym a little bit more. So I don't know how that impacts I don't know how that impacts their muscles in terms of the ability to sustain themselves over the course of a season. But regardless, I think that it's important to note. These are problems that any team in Florida, whether that's Orlando City, us, Jacksonville are coming back, the Miami, Inter Miami, when we have international tournaments being hosted here in the future, all of the teams that are in Florida are going to have to deal with this problem over the summer months. So if we do not have the depth, it's just going to continue to be a problem. And as much as the Rowdies have made a huge, like, they have taken what is a relatively small dollar and stretched it as far as it can go, I think, for three or four seasons now. Ultimately, we are going to need more depth pieces over the course of a season. Or, just like you said, we're going to end up in another situation where we have three outfield options off the bench, two of which are strikers, and one of which is often Josh Perez. If the games that I'm remembering are any indication, it was kind of comical to see, but at the same time, it wasn't comical because as soon as Freddie Kleeman or Forrest Lasso goes down, then we have no one. Then, you know what? We're going to put JJ Williams at center back next. As much as I like JJ Williams, I wouldn't necessarily trust him to play as a center back.
Like, he can get up, he can get the headers out. Like, he's the type of guy that you'll have back there and he'll do all right. I'm not going to lie. But yeah, that is certainly going to be something we'll be looking for again on the wings in particular. Like there's certainly not a lack of talented wing players already in the USL. So we don't even really have to leave the league to look for good depth pieces and good options on the wings. If we want to go and just poach a couple players from other teams, I think we as an organization and as a club, because of our success and like culture and status as a historical team, are in a good position to be able to just kind of poach a couple really good players from other teams that maybe just don't have the backing or the resources to keep those players. But hear me out, new coach. Maybe we change things up a little bit and change our kind of recruitment philosophy somewhat. Again, there's so much talent all around the US, especially at the college level, that like people end up overlooking, or they go to an MLS super draft and they end up, in the reserves or an MLS next pro team. Like tons of talent out there that can be picked up, especially on the wings. So much speed out there. I'm really, really excited to see what we can do over the next, what, 3 months or so, into the preseason. I don't think it should be a problem though, because I think historically the front office has been really good at finding the right pieces. And I think Robbie Nielsen is going to be someone that is pretty, I don't know. I have no way to like say for sure, but he's an experienced coach, right?
Yeah,
So I
of
think he
course.
can be someone that can go out and find, or at least know what he wants and have the front office help him go find what he needs, right? So, I'm not too concerned in that sense, but it's obviously something we'll be keeping an eye out for, the depth pieces, and who knows, maybe we find somebody that is good enough to take over one of the starting spots from the guys that, at least in my mind, would be starting right now. Because again, the guys we've re-signed already, most of them are starters. But well, I guess it's up to Robbie Nielsen to see how ambitious he wants to be, in terms of kind of pushing for big players or pushing for depth pieces. So something to keep an eye on there for sure. But again, I'm not going to stop pushing the college soccer agenda, in particular the Georgetown men's soccer agenda. So many good players on that team that need a home now, seniors that are graduating and whatnot. Kenny Nielsen, just an insane left back, by the way, if we're looking for a left back. So who knows, maybe my little bit of voice here on RBLR Sports gets out to the Rowdy front office, and we start looking in the college pool a bit more.
I mean, I will say Ryan Spalding is exactly the archetype of player that you mentioned, someone who gets drafted in MLS Next or by an MLS team and ends up in MLS Next Pro because he does, the first team doesn't really trust him enough. Then he goes and he does insane things at the Rowdies. There's no doubt in my mind that the way he played for us kind of contributed to him getting recalled by New England Revolution and then actually given some chances at the MLS level because he was doing so well. There are more Ryan Spaldings out there, and I'm sure several of them are at Georgetown, but there are definitely more out there. Some players that I liked at Georgetown were Kieran Sargent. I remember him. Joe
Oh my
Buck, I don't know
gosh.
if he's a senior,
He's
but he
so
also
good.
has New England Revolution ties, I guess,
Oh my
but.
God. Kieran Sargent. Oh my gosh. Now we're talking about Georgetown soccer, but Kieran Sargent is, I swear, one of the most talented players I've ever seen live in person. He is so incredibly talented defensively and in the attack in a way that I've just haven't seen before in person, especially like at the level he's in. He's a junior at Georgetown right now. He's an incredible piece, and I fully think that he's being overlooked because college soccer as a whole gets overlooked. He's so good, and I swear would be ready to step into the Rowdies next year at the left back spot. Incredible. But there's, again, there's so many players out there that get drafted by an MLS squad and then kind of get lost in the cycle a year or two later. Like again, I'm using Georgetown as an example because those are the guys I know. Is like Chris Haygart as well, was a sophomore when he got drafted by Charlotte. Ended up playing lots of time for Charlotte Crown or whatever it's called, and then Charlotte Independence for a little bit. Ended up on loan at Loudoun United at the end of this year. He even played against us at the end of the season. I don't know if you remember that. He was like getting into it with Connor Sparrow, which is pretty fun to watch. Aiden Rocha as well, same thing. He's playing for Loudoun United, but guys that are really, really talented get drafted and they kind of get lost in that kind of pool of talent.
Yeah.
And the reserve squads and stuff. So like, and like, I think wingers, especially, there's plenty of depth out there, plenty of talent to go find. So I'm truly, truly excited to see what Robbie Nielsen can do. But I think this is one of the things that'll be a challenge for him, because this is a really, really different landscape.
Exactly.
In terms of where the talent is, what the talent pools look like, than it is in Scotland, right? In Scotland.
Also, just as a side note, it is literally a different landscape. As someone who walked around Edinburgh and saw exactly how hilly that country is, it's crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, literally and also like figuratively in the soccer world. I mean, you're talking about a very clearly defined path in Europe, right?
And exactly.
The academies and kind of like where to look for players. You have academies and you have the professional clubs. There's not really anywhere else to look. Here you have multiple different levels of professional clubs and different leagues that kind of compete with each other. And there's different rules about how to like go about signing players and what that looks like. You have the college soccer pool. You have players from the Caribbean that are kind of always coming in here, players from South America coming to the US. That's not really the case in Scotland, I would say. Like, I feel like it's pretty clear where you're looking for players.
Yeah.
So I think this is a challenge for Robbie Nielsen. This is going to have to see like where he's going to go find those depth pieces, because we have, again, a fantastic core already. But like you said, injuries are almost a guarantee. So we need depth pieces. We need players that can challenge for a starting spot as well. And there's plenty of talent to do that out there. We just have to find the right ones that obviously fit with our system and fit with the goals for the club.
Yeah. And I will say, since you mentioned him, Chris Haygaard, I'm pretty sure that Charlotte declined his option, his contract option for 2024. I would be over the moon if the Rowdies went and signed Aiden Rocha and Chris Haygaard. I would be so excited about that. I think those are both players who could contribute to this team just because you mentioned them.
No, if you saw the game that Loudon played against us, their entire like attack was through them. It was incredible. And they played fantastic against us. And I know them, like I know how like competitive they are. And like, I could see how, like, don't get me wrong, I was happy we won, but they were really, really like just good players that seemed to carry a squad that was lacking talent around them, which I mean, it's kind of how it goes for a squad like Loudon, right? And they would be players that I honestly think would be able to compete for a starting spot. They wouldn't just be depth pieces. So like, these are guys that I think are an example of what we should be looking for. I'm not saying like they're fantastic. I think I'd be personally ecstatic if we go out and get them, but there's a lot of players like them as well.
Yeah.
So like, I'm saying, using them as an example, because they're my boys, they went to Georgetown. But there's plenty of players in similar situations. So I think as far as the pool of talent is there, we just have to go out and find them this year. And I'll save my wish list again for another episode. I guess that's my sneak peek and my preview about who I'm thinking about, kind of where my mind's at. But in terms of kind of like what we need, I really do think we just need guys that can kind of compete for a starting spot, but mostly depth, because we have the talent already to, just with the squad we have, compete for a title and make that run for an Open Cup one day potentially.
And you also need, just the last thing I'll say on this, you also need players like of all age groups. You need those players to fill in you know, the older years, kind of the elder statesmen, the players who are in their prime, that 26 to 30 years old. And you need players that are beneath that. This roster doesn't have a ton of them. I mean, Jordan Doherty is 23 years old, but outside of that, Freddie Kleeman, whom we don't know about, is turning 25. And yeah, Deion Harris is 26. That's still, you know, getting into the elder age group, even though obviously for the rest of the world it isn't. And Josh Perez is turning 26. So yeah, Jordan Doherty is the only midfield who's 23 and in that kind of age range. It would be great to have some more players in that age range. But I will leave it there now and say, thank you, Carlos, for bringing up those two very good examples there for potential options. Now we will go to our extra time segment. International play, actually, international play is just finished as of today, recording on Wednesday. Yep. The U.S. MNT scraped past Trinidad and Tobago. It was a disastrous showing down in Trinidad, but whatever, we're through. We are into the Copa America over the summer in 2024, and we are into the Nations League semifinals, which might or might not be more important. I really don't know. But Mexico barely got past Honduras. That was even worse than our showing. Canada did not get past Jamaica. That was crazy to see. Panama destroyed Costa Rica. It was really a very weird Nations League series, as well as all of the other games at the lower levels. But
yeah,
man.
Costa Rica had an insane drop-off. An insane drop-off. I don't know what happened over there. I don't know if they just had like half a golden generation. Immediately they got old and they fell off. But man, like Costa Rica is a country that I figured would, you know, after they're kind of like, they had a great run. They've had a great run up until pretty recently. And I figured they could establish themselves as a competitor every year for like a Gold Cup and, you know, want to become the third or fourth power behind the U.S.
At least better than this.
Yeah, but man, that was really sad. Yeah, Mexico, I don't know how the hell they got by that game, honestly. That was kind of a weird one. Admittedly, I'm always rooting for the underdog, so it's kind of sad to see Mexico pull that out and have a penalty retaken multiple times. But
God, yeah.
That's neither here nor there. We won't talk about that too much, especially because I want to work for CONCACAF. Hopefully they give me an internship, so I'm not going to criticize them too much. Let's move on from that, though. But lots of stuff going on with the Nations League. I kind of like how they did that as qualifying for the Copa America, and they didn't just automatically give it to, like, USA, Mexico, Canada, and, like, a fourth, right?
Right.
I figured, especially, like, now, I figured Canada would definitely be in the Copa America, but it's good that there's at least some semblance of like competitiveness needed to get in there. It's gonna be a fun tournament, though. Annoying that like Mexico is in pot A, just based off of, I don't know if you saw that, like they released the groupings for like the draw for the groups. So they have like the four pots, A, B, C, and D, and Mexico and the U.S. are both in pot A with like Brazil and Argentina, which I think is kind of weird. So that's a thing. That being said, it's gonna be a fun tournament next summer.
Ecuador, who are you rooting for?
Ecuador. I'm sorry, that's it. Very rarely happens, so I've never had to really be too concerned about it, but it happened. I don't know if you remember the Copa America Centenario in 2015. Mm-hmm. They played in and the US beat Ecuador, I think 1-0 or 2-1. It's very rare that like I have to worry about picking a side there. But unfortunately, I always have to kind of just stick with Ecuador. For better or worse, it's usually for worse because for whatever reason, the U.S. always manages to pull out a win against Ecuador. And then, three times I've seen them play? Yeah. So that's happened. It was fun fact, my first ever soccer game was USA Ecuador in Tampa, Florida, 2007. I was
really
5 years old. Yeah.
That was my first ever international game.
Look at that. James and I were at the same game together. I was 5 years old back then. And we, what is it? 2007. I can't do math. Many years later, we're still here together talking about the Rowdies. Fun fact we discovered here today. I don't know if you remember that game, but the U.S.
I do.
Yeah, the U.S. won that game as well. So I've just had a bad luck and bad run of form in terms of running with Ecuador over the U.S. But that being said, Ecuador did win yesterday against Chile, mm-hmm. So we're feeling all right, especially after Chile tried to disqualify us before the World Cup last year. Based off of some BS rule about a player being born in Colombia, but he's Ecuadorian, so it doesn't matter. Fun fact, out of that, we actually started the qualifiers with -3 points. And that's kind of lame, but whatever. We're still in fifth place. We're doing
now right. You're still ahead of Chile, so.
Yeah, so it is what it is. We're also ahead of Brazil, by the mm-hmm. way. Fun fact, Venezuela, Colombia, and Ecuador are all in qualifying zone right now. I've always, always, always wanted to see a World Cup where all three of those countries get in. Hasn't happened yet because Venezuela hasn't qualified for a World Cup yet. I think this might finally be the year where we have the reunification of La Gran Colombia and you have all three flags coming back together to make their debut together at the World Cup. I'm so excited. I really, really hope that happens. There's so much chaos during these qualifiers, James. I don't know if you saw the stuff in Brazil and Argentina game.
Oh, yeah.
In Peru, the Peruvian police actively struck multiple Venezuelan players with their batons or the nightsticks or whatever on their way over to the Venezuelan fans to like give them shirts and stuff. Just a crazy, crazy round of qualifiers all around, whether it was on the field with Mexico, somehow scraping by and questionable calls. And, you know, crazy stuff going on down there in South America, as per usual, intense games between Brazil and Argentina. But there's always hate on the international window for whatever reason from people on Twitter. I love international soccer, and like, I don't know why there's ever hate around it. There's so many good games out there. And if, like, you can't find it, that's a skill issue. Like, that's on you. You got to find these games. There's so many good competitions out there. And it's really, really great stuff. So fantastic international window. I was really happy with how everything went. Plenty of games, and happy with Ecuador finishing this year in fifth place.
On a very high note, as you said, ahead of Brazil, who lost both games in an international window, probably for the first time ever.
Crazy.
I don't know, but probably for the first time ever.
It's been a very, very long time. They never lose at home in qualifiers, ever. So, like, the fact that they did is, yeah, it would actually, I think, be the first time ever, because they literally do not lose at home in qualifiers. I don't think they have, like, ever. That might have been the first time, or like the second time they've ever lost at home in qualifiers. It's really impressive stuff, but they're just having a really bad cycle. So I'm curious to see if this team is actually just not that good, because all the other teams smell blood in the water now. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a chance here to make something happen. Ecuador is actually their next game is in Brazil, which is usually just a guaranteed loss, but after this, Venezuela even got a point in Brazil.
And I want to point out the other team that beat Brazil in this window was Colombia, after Luis Diaz scored two goals to bring Colombia from a 1-0 deficit to a 2-1 win in front of his dad, who was just released by guerrilla rebels. So,
the storylines this cycle were insane, James. Yeah. If you weren't keeping up, you missed out, and you have to do yourself a favor and catch up. There's so much going on. Brazil's washed. Mexico is Mexico.
Washed.
South America is chaotic, and the Copa America is just going to be a fun time, because you're bringing together both these chaotic continents into one competition. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. But we could talk about, Carlos, maybe we will talk about that some point in the offseason. But let's leave that situation as it is for the time being and move on to our next topic here. And that is back to Luckiam Kosana and Sebastian Dalgard. These are both members, as I said previously, of the Rowdies 100 Appearance Club. Both Lucky and Sebastian Dalgard are now, unfortunately, going to be former Rowdies players as well. Lucky had 119 appearances total in two spells with the Rowdies. Two different times he played with us, it should be said. And over that time, he notched 27 goals across all competitions, including probably some of the most famous goals in Rowdy's colors. Dalgard, absolutely, on the other hand, notched 6 goals and 12 assists in 110 appearances across all competitions. I will thank the Rowdy's PR staff for pointing that out in the press release about their options having been declined. These are definitely players that are going to inspire a lot of, a lot of sadness, I would say, in that they're leaving. But, Carlos, you mentioned it earlier. We gotta be thankful that we had these two for as long as we did, because Lucky is responsible probably for one of the craziest nights for Rowdies fans in the history of this club. I mean, from the 1970s to now.
Yeah.
Sebastian Dalgard has been an invaluable contributor, not only just making 100 appearances, which, as you've said, is very, very far, few and far between at the lower levels of soccer in America. Sometimes that happens relatively frequently in maybe England and Scotland in the lower divisions, probably in other countries like Germany and Spain. But in America, you don't have contracts that are very long at this level. For somebody to have stuck around long enough to make 100 appearances is just crazy. And these are two players that are both going to leave with an incredible legacy. But I think, honestly, Luckiam Kosana, if we owned the ground at Al Lang the way that, you know, Man United own their stadium ground, or Manchester City or Arsenal, whatever it is, I would probably say that Luckiam Kosana is one of the closest players we have to, like, legitimately, he would deserve a statue out front.
Yeah, I think there's, if anything, at least that moment is statuable, right? The
That
moment
moment,
the
yes.
Louisville moment is highly statuable. So, if
There
that's in
should
the
be a
works for
mural
anyone,
of that somewhere or something.
yeah. I mean, I like the stuff you've been doing in the stadium, like on the walls and stuff. Hall of Fame or the Hall of like 100 appearances and stuff. I'm sure we can. I mean, when I'm sh I there's no doubt in my mind that that will be like the picture used for his little display in there
Yeah.
when that goes up. If it hasn't already, I showed you I haven't been in the stadium in a little bit. But yeah, so great moments with him in green and gold. Two incredibly different moments in Rowdy's history when he was a Rowdy. So it's really interesting to see him come back both when he was here in kind of the early Rowdy's era, and then kind of in this new modern era, modern era of the modern era, I guess. So it,
It's a good
one
way
of
to
the
put
few
it.
players, yeah, one of the few players that can say he did that, which is pretty cool. So yeah, I was happy to have him, obviously. We had him on the podcast before. Just a fantastic guy, and we're definitely gonna miss him. Again, definitely a guy that we've said this before, will stick around, I'm sure, and I hope in some way, shape, or form in Tampa Bay area and stay involved with local soccer, because he has so much to give to this community. I can only hope he can stay around and help us grow, in whether it's in the youth soccer side or, you know, as a future staff in whatever shape, way, or form. He has a lot of stuff to give and a lot of stuff to offer. So I'm really happy with his time here and hope he sticks around. And then let me just mention Dalgard as well, because he'll be, I think, overlooked a bit because of Lucky's status.
Right, exactly.
Dalgard has been such a consistent piece as well. Like, he was so good. It just really showed us what he's capable of just a couple seasons ago. I feel like this is one of those kind of like sneaky 100 appearances, because it just doesn't feel like he's been around for that long. Because it's like a slow buildup until you realize, oh my God, this guy's been here the whole time. He's so consistent, so good, just adds so much value on the wing. And he's one of those guys where if we, you know, we're looking for depth and on the wings, or not looking for depth, we're looking for a starting piece on the wings, he's the guy you want. So unfortunately, he's leaving, because we need somebody to kind of fill in those shoes. And I think it's gonna be really difficult to find someone like him out there. So, but yeah. Fantastic player and incredibly consistent. He's someone that will certainly be missed as well.
Yeah, as you said, Carlos, I hope that this is not the last that we see of either of them. I think that Lucky especially has laid a lot of roots down in the local community. I mean, we haven't even touched on all of his charity work and the children's book that he's worked on. So, yeah, I think that both of them are going to be Rowdy's, actual Rowdy's legends, and I would definitely like to see both of them, show up a lot more in terms of at least, coaching or something like that, but definitely just in the future around games and such, like we
For
have seen
sure.
some from other players. So, hats off to both of them for an incredible career at the Rowdies. I don't know if it will be an incredible career cap here, but one way or another, they both deserve whatever, good things come their way. They have been great athletes and great men for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. So thank you very much, guys. And we will do our last bit here just to say, please tune in to RBLR Deportes. They cover everything from the Bucks, the Lightning, the Rowdies, the Rays, and now the Tampa Bay Sun in Spanish for you. So please tune into that. I know Santiago obviously does a lot of great work there, a lot of hard work as well. Eureka, our producer, was trying to put that together for a while, and now that Santiago is doing it, I think it's great. It is helping me with my Spanish comprehension as I take my classes in the every week. But yeah, I do appreciate that also as a listening piece, which is helpful for they tell you out after class you need to go and listen to podcasts, so that's one of the ones that I do. And I would also say please tune into our Tampa Bay Sun program. We now have that up and running, and there will be news coming out, obviously, I guess, just at different times. We don't know all the different times, but RBLR Sports was at the press conference. We are one of the first news organizations to cover them, so definitely tune into our Tampa Bay Sun program as well. We have a lot of good stuff out there, Carlos, for everyone, really.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited to see what they're doing over there. The new stadium situation, I'm not gonna lie. I was a little skeptical at first. I was like, Blake High School, like, what are we gonna do over there? Are we just gonna play on them? But I saw the renderings. I saw what they're looking to do and the vision for that kind of a situation, at least temporarily. It looks like a really, really cool temporary spot. As far as like temporary stadiums go, they're gonna have a nice situation out there on the waterfront, the Tampa Bay Sun. So pretty excited what they can do, and I'm really looking forward to going to a couple games as soon as they start up.
Yeah, as you said, it is on the waterfront and it is going to be a very nice location for a team regardless. So, with that, now we will bring what was, I think, a longer episode than we expected, Carlos, to a close, but we covered a lot and it was all very important. So, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. If you made it all the way to this portion of the show, we appreciate it. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Threads, wherever you are. Like I said, we are there at RBLR Sports. I specifically am mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. What about you, Carlos?
At Carlos TPA10 on Twitter, been talking about the Ecuador national team a lot. The coach is highly questionable, his decisions, but somehow he's pulling out wins, so I can't really complain. Also, I'm looking back at my feed. Forgot that I tweeted out the other day that the Rowdies were actually mentioned in my soccer politics class on Monday, which was pretty fun. Been having We've had a couple of guest speakers in there. One of them was the former president of Major League Soccer, Mark Abbott, which is really cool.
Oh,
Had
wow.
a great conversation with him about the Rowdies and the USL and the future of second division. And he's actually teaching a class at Georgetown next year, which I registered for, which is pretty cool. Great guy, by the way. Talked a lot about the Rowdies in class, which has been fun. Spreading the green and gold gospel wherever I am. If you're listening to this, you should too. So follow me on Twitter at CarlosCPA10, and I don't know, learn more about my soccer politics class and the Ecuador national team, and maybe a little bit about Georgetown basketball in the process.
There you go. There you go. And obviously, please like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube, but we are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts, we are there. So for another week in the off season and for the boys from the first season of True Detective, come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.